of the Flint have two communities close by, and they are working hard at revitalizing their language. This program is part of those efforts, and it originally aired in Gunasadage on RKR, reviving Gunasadage Radio.
You're knocking on the right door. If you're looking for something, well, refreshing, you're tuned in to the right station. You're listening to the coolest station in Montreal, 90.3 FM on your dial. The alternative station, the one that gives you a choice and a voice. CKUT, stay tuned.
What's up, what's up, what's up, good people? To those of you listening wherever, whenever, whatever time it is, good morning, good evening, and good night. You are locked into another Tuesday evening with Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 FM. Soul P has been on the air since 1994. We bring you all the topics, the guests, the ups and downs, the highs and the lows of the black community here in Montreal, across Canada, and internationally. We have a beautiful evening of music and discussion lined up for you tonight. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives right here on CKUT 90.3 on your FM dial.
Watching your shape, they got give me faith when you make that bumper shake. When you dip in your hip, in your hot girl section, whining like a champion. Believe me, you tease me, pressurizing when you're whining. Can't stop this reaction, whining like a champion. Girl, walk, let me see you make your body move. You make your whistle for you something good. Girl, walk, oh, you make my body feel good. Whining like a champion. Girl, walk, let me see you make your body move.
Girl, me want for you all, yo. Put me arms right around, yo. Can you give me the tightest hold me ever get in my life? Girl, me want fi just squeeze ya, put me things all around ya. Girl, you give me the tightest hold me ever get in my life. Me hide them gems, me no care. Me take it anytime, anywhere. In the square, so me no fear. Long as a woman, I will be there. Me want a girl, me can't wipe on me. Me want a girl, me can't take care of me. Let me feel it, let me be feel it. Oh, me have to really squeeze it. Girl, me want feel all, yo. Put me arms right around, yo. Girl, you give me the tightest hold me ever get in my life. Y'all me just want to squeeze, yeah. Put me things all around, yeah. Can you give me the tightest hold me ever get in my life? Hold on, like a fast bike on the road, boom, 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 boom. Girl, on the back and share, boom, 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 boom. Give me the maga one, not the fat, come, come, come. In the play last one time, it come to come, come. Me out of control, I'm more fire, she want in her soul. She say more and more, and still she grown, and still me multiply more, yeah. Just hold ya, put me arms right around ya. Girl, you give me the tightest hold me ever get in my life. Girl, me want fi just squeeze ya, put me arms right around ya. Girl, you give me the tightest hold me ever get in my life. Squeeze ya, around ya. Tightest hold me ever get in my life. Try and me no care. Me take it anytime, anywhere. In a despair, so me no fear. Long as a woman, I will be there. Me want a girl who take care of me. Me want a girl who can wipe on me. Let me feel it, let me feel it. Show me that you can turn. Girl, me want feel all, yo. Put me arms right around, yo. Girl, you give me the tightest hold me ever get in my life. Y'all me just want to squeeze, yeah. Put me things all around, yeah. Girl, you give me the tightest.
Yes, 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 we're back, we're back, we're back. It's another Tuesday evening, and you are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and on the air with us tonight, we have the founder, the creator of Atelier APL, Aminata Planchon. And Atelier APL is a modern, unique, colorful, and elegant company that combines passion and creativity. Their drive comes from the vision of gathering people around one common interest, which is fashion. They offer colorful and dynamic collections that will warm your heart, and they do celebrate women and sisterhood. Aminata, thank you so much for taking the time to be here with us tonight. How are you doing?
Hi, Kim. Thanks for having me. I'm super happy to have this chat with you. I'm great, actually.
So during these COVID times that we've been living in, we just like to, before we get into the nitty gritty of our conversation, we like to ask, you know, how are you doing during these times? Like, how have you been coping during COVID?
Definitely not an easy process, you know, personally and also for the business, but I always think it's good to stay grateful because I am very lucky that, you know, I'm still healthy and my family as well. So, yeah, trying to stay grateful and adapt as quickly as possible.
Great, great. Well, I'm glad to hear that. Well, I found your company a couple years ago and purchased some stuff from you, and I really enjoyed your product, which is why I wanted to get to know you a little bit more and have you on air, and hopefully let Montreal and whoever else listens get to know you as well, because you do offer, like, if people are outside of Montreal, they can definitely order and get it delivered. Yep. So tell us a little bit about Atelier APL. What was the driving force behind creating this store?
Okay, well, first of all, thanks for the support. Really appreciate it. So I founded Atelier APL in 2017, and it basically came from my passion for sewing. Because growing up, I used to, you know, really see my mom. She had all of these creative hobbies, and one of them was sewing and making clothes for fashion shows in Senegal. And I was really inspired by that. So when I was in my teens, I wanted to try it out. So she showed me how to sew, you know, really the basics. And I have to admit, the first sewing, like the first pieces I did were not cute, but it got better.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when I came to Montreal, I bought my first sewing machine, and I used to really have fun with fabrics. And it got to a point where I was sewing clothes for myself, for my friends, and basically spending all my money as a student on fabric. So I, you know, started to feel a bit guilty about that. And I you know, wanted to find a way to maintain this passion, but also not spend all my money and feel guilty about it.
Right.
So, you know, this is where I started to think about, okay, maybe I could make a business because I'm already like sewing clothes for free. So maybe I can make people pay for it. And this is how it started. So knowing that I was building a business, I had a different approach than, you know, when I was just sewing for free. And I wanted to make it more efficient and not have to worry about the logistics and stuff like that. So that's why I started with accessories. So at the time, chokers were really on trend, but I hadn't seen any chokers with African print. And I'm very, very rooted in my Senegalese background. So, you know, I thought maybe why not have African print chokers? And that's what I did as the first collection.
And so that our client knows, what are chokers exactly?
So chokers are a necklace that you wear that are really close to your neck. So yeah, they're
called chokers. So it's like a fitted necklace.
Exactly, fitted necklace.
Gotcha. Yep.
So I did that as the first collection, and it sold out basically because I had, you know, a lot of people just supporting me, and they already knew that I loved that. It was my passion. So they just wanted to show love, and word of mouth, you know, it got out and the collection sold out, and it was only on Instagram.
Okay.
So that's a bit of the story behind it. I started on Instagram and with accessories in Montreal.
Okay. And the name Atelier APL, where'd you get the idea from to name your company Atelier APL?
So you might be disappointed because it's not a very interesting story, but
okay.
I'm a very creative person, don't get me wrong, but I'm not good at picking names.
Okay.
So, you know, I was talking about my business with my boyfriend because he's an entrepreneur too. So I was, you know, trying to get some advice and stuff. And, you know, just going back and forth, and I was like, damn, I don't know what name could I get, you know, for this business. And he was like, well, just put your initials. So,
okay.
You know, then I had APL because it's Aminata Planchon, and Lo, which is the name of my mom. So basically, yeah, this is where it came from.
Okay. And why do you choose Atelier as opposed to maybe store or something a little bit? Because Atelier means workshop, right? In English.
Yeah.
Why did you choose Atelier?
So there are many connotations with Atelier. You know, we can say Atelier de Couture in French, which is like a sewing workshop. And since I knew that, you know, like sewing is my passion, this is why I wanted to have Atelier rather than shop, because it really represents my passion for sewing. So it was closer to that idea.
So would you say that Atelier allows you to explore different, as opposed to having just one kind of thing, because your company offers a wide variety of stuff, from jewelry to clothing that you've done several mini videos showing how diverse one article of clothing is. So would you say that kind of reflects the diversity of what you're offering?
Oh, yeah, definitely. You know, going into this business, I didn't want to have something that would be too close and that would restrict me in my choices. So, you know, having Atelier is really diverse. There's no restrictions in that. So I could do whatever I want, basically. And yeah, so we do have jewelry, clothing, bags, headpieces like headscarves, head wraps, sunglasses even. So, yeah, any type of accessory, really.
And what were some of the challenges that you experienced when you first started? Because being an entrepreneur is one of the toughest things to do in today's society. Where I find that we're lucky now that we have social media to help us engage with our potential clients and stuff like that. But what were some of the challenges that you experienced back when you first started in 2017 that maybe you look back on now and you're just like, oh my goodness, I wish I hadn't done that, or that was really good and I need to do that again?
So many challenges. Honestly, it's hard to just name a few, but I would say I'm like a perfectionist. So I like everything to be perfect and everything has to be the way I envision it. And starting out like that wasn't easy, because then it took me so much longer, you know, to just launch and to start to just get into it.
Yes.
Because now I really learned that it doesn't have to be perfect. As long as you keep getting better, you just have to trust the process. So yeah, trying to make everything perfect was definitely one of my biggest challenges. I think also relying on motivation, because the idea I had of entrepreneurship versus what it actually is are like two completely different things.
Okay.
And now that I'm looking back at it, I realize, you know, how different the idea that I had of it was.
So tell us what was your perception of entrepreneurship at the time?
Yeah, so to me, I was thinking of it more as, so the job that you would have in, like, you know, a company that would hire you is, I saw it more as something that you have to do just to get money.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, entrepreneurship was more like exploring your passions and, you know, being your own boss. And so I saw more the freedom side of it. And of course, you know, that's what I like about entrepreneurship, but I didn't think about all of the things that came with it, you know, all of the responsibilities. And it's only when I was really into it that I realized how real it was, you know, because
mm-hmm.
It's like you're your own boss. So if you don't feel like working, money's not going to come in. You know, if you don't put in the work, it's all on you. So yeah, I definitely think that relying on motivation is something that you cannot do when you're in entrepreneurship, because whether you're motivated or not, you still have to deliver.
Right.
So this was a big challenge for me, because I had to adapt the way I was working, you know, being used to like, the system, you know, how it forges you for your studies and to work, you know, in companies. I think it's a completely different approach.
What do you mean by the system?
Basically the education, you know, when you're at school, you have teachers who are here to look after you and, you know, to tell you what to do. You
mm-hmm.
go into class, you take notes, you go back home, you have your you know, homework, and then you have your exams. Like, everything is pretty set into place, and then they prepare you also for the working life, you know. So everything is like, we're feeding you all the information. It's like, here's what you need, and then just go and learn it by heart. And then, you know, but with entrepreneurship, it's like you're on your own, basically. So, you know, you really have to adapt, and you have to go after the information and after everything by yourself. Basically, there's no one. Well, if you have a mentor, which was not my case, but, you know, it does facilitate the process. But you have to go after the information by yourself. There's no one who's going to take your hand and bring you to the final destination, basically.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So you said that you were inspired by your Senegalese roots.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about that. How were you inspired by your roots?
Oof, in so many different ways, whether it's through the food, the music, the fashion. It's such a rich culture. And so I grew up from, I was born in France, but I moved directly to Senegal. So I grew up there until the age of 7. And so I think, you know, this young age is really where you take everything in. You know, you observe the world and you take everything in. So on the fashion side, I used to, you know, look at women with their head wraps. And when I think about it, almost all the women I knew were wearing head wraps. And I was always amazed at the different ways that they were able to tie, and, you know, how each and every woman was unique with their prints and with the way they tied the head wrap around their head. So yeah, I was definitely very, very inspired by that. And even in the cooking, I love to cook. So, you know, Senegalese food is like, I always have to put some spices in there, even if it's not, you know, an African dish.
Yeah, yeah, I understand you cook. 100%.
There you go.
Yeah, no, for sure. When it comes to cooking, as a Caribbean man myself, I've got a whole bunch of spices in there that I need to just be sprinkling in. It just doesn't taste right until you have the right spice.
Thank you.
We are on the air with Aminata Planchon, the founder, creator of Atelier APL. She's telling us about her roots and her company. We're going to take a quick break and come back to you. Keep it locked. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
Don't look at me like a criminal. I'm just a chick trying to find my way. I know that time's so critical. I'm gonna save the world another day, cause I got a lot to learn, lots of places to see, and this is what I deserve. I wanna live for me. Don't look at me like a criminal. I'm only trying to find my way. And burn, at least I live for me. Don't look at me like a criminal. I wouldn't have it any other way. Don't look at me. Walking with a smile, I'll be fine. And even through the rain, I'm gonna feel the sunshine. Oh, 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 oh. Hey, don't look at me like I'm a criminal.
Cause I'm way too busy being who I was born to be.
My name is Kim Dominique Ferguson, and I'm speaking with Aminata Planchon, who is the founder, creator of Atelier APL. And before the break, you told us about how you made some mistakes as an entrepreneur in terms of how you thought the business was going to be and how you actually realized that you kind of have to put in more work than going to, say, for example, a 9-to-5 job. Like there's more that has to go into your company, that because without you, the company doesn't make any money. Mm-hmm. And you said you started in 2017, so you had a good 3 years before COVID hit. Were there any changes that you had to make? Like, how did COVID affect? How was your business before COVID, and how did you have to make modifications, if any, once COVID had hit?
I love this question because I think we can all relate to, you know, anything that comes to COVID. So I definitely had to adapt big time, but I was lucky that I actually, you know, like I mentioned, started my business on Instagram, and then I had my website. So I was already online. And, you know, during the first month of COVID, I was really thinking about all the businesses who have most of their activity going like in physical places like shops, stores, restaurants and stuff like that, who, you know, must have had a much harder time adapting to the pandemic. Mm-hmm. But I would say before COVID, my business was maybe more in person than it is now. I'm someone who is very introvert, but I do love the human connection.
Yes.
So I put in place a system before COVID where people had the option to pick in store. So, you know, people who are based in Montreal and don't want to pay for the shipping fees, they can select the pick up at store option for $0. And then they just need to come and pick up their package. And I would meet them in person. I really like that because it gave me the chance to connect with consumers. And, you know, when they put a face on the brand, it's really more relatable. They don't see you as a business, but more like as, you know, a person who's just expressing themselves through their passion, which is what I'm trying to do with Atelier APL. So this definitely had to change with COVID because of, you know, all the restrictions. We couldn't really see people. You had to stay 2 meters apart, you know, no physical touch or stuff like that for people that you don't know. So I still left this option open for people who would feel comfortable coming to pick up their package. Mm-hmm. But of course, we had to respect all the restrictions and make sure that, you know, we were 2 meters apart. So with all of these parameters, it wasn't easy to have the connection that I used to have with people before COVID.
Yeah.
So this is something that changed. And also the fact that summer is, I would say, the biggest part when it comes to like the sales for Atelier APL, because you can see our accessories are very colorful. They're very summery. So even though you can wear them throughout the whole year, summer is the time where
is your peak sale period.
More.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Exactly. So also during summer, I do lots of pop-up shops. And so basically pop-up shops are physical events where people, you know, come and there are different vendors and they just buy at the event. So this allows me to reach people that I wouldn't be able to reach digitally, even if, you know, I have a good presence, I would say, on social and online. So it's just different clientele. And also it permits me to meet people in person. But now with COVID, you know, most of the pop-up shops that I used to have were canceled because you couldn't have a big gathering of people. And this really affected the business. So I really had to put even more effort in the digital part, and mm-hmm. especially during summer, you know, and not think so much of like the physical interactions and physical events and stuff like that. And even now that, you know, COVID, of course, is still present, but maybe a bit less than at the beginning of the pandemic, I see that, you know, pop-up shops are completely different. This year, I only participated in 2 during summer, and it was not the same because, you know, the capacity is not, it's not the same. Even if the adventure could have more people, we're restricted because of, you know, the number of people we're allowed
inside a venue. So a venue that could hold 100 people normally, now they're only allowed to hold 20.
Exactly.
Which can severely hamper your sales.
Yeah, exactly. So it's not, I would say for me, it wasn't as worth it as it was before COVID. So, you know, this is something that I'm still adapting to. I'm still trying to figure out, you know, how I can balance, because it was a big traction, like I said, of people who I wasn't necessarily able to reach on the digital space.
Yeah. Yeah. How did you modify your promotion to attract more people during this time period?
So I definitely had to, I'm losing my word in English, put more effort in social media and ads and, you know, my website and stuff like that. Because when I started doing that, I did start my business on Instagram, but then, you know, with the physical events and pop-up shops and website, I was a bit less focused on social media. But yeah, with the pandemic, I really started to invest even more time in social media. And this really, really helped me for, you know, all the promotions and yeah.
Yeah, because one of the things that I had noticed, and I think I, like many people during this pandemic, you know, got into all kind of social media stuff, just watching social media. And the biggest thing for me, even though TikTok was around like 3-4 years before, mm-hmm. was getting into TikTok. And TikTok has very unique ways in which they present like music video, like a musical video and dances yeah. and choreographies. And when I first saw your work, you would do demonstrations of, say, for example, different ways you could wear a head wrap, mm-hmm. well, a fabric, but then you would wrap it around your head, you would wrap it around your torso. It would become like, it's like, oh my God, what are these 20 things that this one piece of fabric can do? But now you've kind of gone even further than that, and you've incorporated like dance and choreography into some of the presentations that you do on your professional web Instagram page. So tell us a little bit about the inspiration behind that.
So basically, you know, like you said, adapting to our times now with COVID, it's anything that I would show before doing the pop-up shops, or, you know, sometimes when people would come to pick up their package, they would be like, oh, could you show me one head wrap style on my head, you know, and I would do it for them on the spot. But since I wasn't able to do that anymore, I was like, okay, I'm going to do it through social media. And so this is how it started. And at the time, when I really started putting more efforts in social reels on Instagram, you know, the 9x16 format of, you know, like 30-second videos were very popular. So I started doing these types of videos where people could really see very well how to tie their head wraps at home, even if I wasn't there to show them. So this is how it started. And then I think you always have to keep it fun and entertaining, you know? So of course you can, when I started, I was telling myself, okay, but what do I do when once I run out of styles to do? Mm-hmm. So, you know, like incorporating different dances and transitions and stuff like that is a way for me to stay, of course, in the air of what's trending on social, but also still making it fun and new and, you know, so people don't get bored of the content that they see.
Well, I can tell you, I'm not getting bored. I'm enjoying everything so far that you're creating. It's really fun to see. And
thank you.
And as someone who's done marketing myself, it's even though I see things are being done over and over, I like, sometimes you don't have to invent the wheel. Oh, you yeah. don't have to reinvent the wheel. You just have to reinvent the car and just put uh-huh. the wheels on it, you know? So it's been really fun to see that. In the description of your company, in the bio of your company, you say that you celebrate women and sisterhood. What does that mean for you?
So to me, you know, I'm very happy whenever I see a woman helping each other out, lifting each other up. This is something that's really a core value of mine. You know, with any of my friends, that's what we do. You know, we don't like talk bad about, you know, other women. We really try to elevate each other. And I think that's how we can move forward. So it's important for me to, you know, be as inclusive as possible in, you know, the styles and the pieces that I offer. And that's also one of the reasons why I, you know, love accessories, because it's less restricting than, you know, some clothing where you would have to go to many different sizes and different styles to fit, you know, everyone. So I think accessories are very inclusive. And this is, you know, one of the ways that I try to elevate women and also not be restricting in the type of people that I target. So yes, I'm very rooted in my Senegalese heritage, but it doesn't mean that my products are only for African people, you know? It's yeah, so it's my way of being more inclusive, of supporting women and of showing them how beautiful they are, basically.
Interesting. So I have a question. Yeah. I have many questions, but you know, what do you think about cultural appropriation? Because we have an issue that we're always trying to, there's a line that we're trying to cross, cross, where there's a difference between appreciation and appropriation. Mm-hmm. Like, how do you toe that line as someone who's because you're not only selling products from like your that your own creating, but you've also, you know, because you sell, unless you're making them yourself, I don't know, you sell earrings, you sell glasses and mm-hmm. stuff like that. So how do you make sure that, you know, while you're welcoming to all clientele, you know, there has to be a line that people can't cross when it comes to appropriating culture?
I really love that question, and I'm so glad you asked it, because I get so many comments on social media about that. And, you know, it's mostly from people who are not from the African culture and who love head wraps and would like to wear them, and they don't know if it's okay or not. Mm-hmm. So I really love the fact that you've asked that question. To me, I would say cultural appropriation is definitely something that, you know, there's an issue with, and we've seen a lot of. I think it's very important when you use something that's not from your culture that you give the credits. So in my opinion, it's completely okay for example, a European woman to wear a headscarf as long as she gives credit to the culture it originates from. Mm-hmm. That's the important part, you know. But if she wants to support the culture and, you know, rock her head wrap, that's fine.
Yeah. And also, because I've had extensive discussions at length mm-hmm. about it. Because one thing that I've been exploring in terms of learning about African culture, being a Caribbean person myself, like a lot of my roots were lost. I only found out last year that I'm like 40% Nigerian, and wow. I'm just like, my mind was blown, because I'm like, the love that I have for Nigerian music and how I feel it in my core just kind of,
oh yeah,
I'm always like, it's not just this is good music, this is something mm-hmm. that comes and resonates with my soul. So that said, like, there's with Caribbean culture, things had been diluted. And so we don't necessarily have like pure, okay, Nigerian customs or Nigerian traditions that are undiluted and have held strong in the Caribbean. They're there, but they're not fully there. And so to bring it back to this cultural appropriation, there are certain rituals, there are certain ceremonies that say there's a specific way that, or a color or a item of clothing that would be used for a specific ritual, for example, or celebration. What would you say about like someone taking that item and using it out of context, especially someone who's non-African?
So, what do you mean when you say using it out of context? Do you mean using it out of the ceremony that it was purposely
exactly
for?
That is exactly what I mean. Yes.
So I think, and this is very subjective, right. You know, the opinion can vary according to the person who you're asking to the question, but in my opinion, it's not okay, because the item was created to celebrate a specific occasion. It's created for a specific context. So you cannot take the item out of its context. You know, that's the way I see it. Now, if you're using something that's more like popular, like, for example, head wraps, it's a different question here, because head wraps are not for just one specific context. Yes, of course, you have different ways of tying it, which could relate to different contexts, but the head wrap as an item is not related to a specific context. So if you ask me, I would say if something was created purposefully for a specific context, you cannot take it out of that context, because you have to honor and respect the culture it was made into and the purpose it was made for.
So it's just like, you know, taking a traditional European wedding dress and wearing it to like a dance hall party. You just don't do that.
That's not disrespectful to the culture, done. I think.
Well, just in case you're tuning in for the first time, we are on the air with Aminata Planchon, who is the founder, creator of Atelier APL. And we just talked a little bit about cultural appropriation and her thoughts on that. Keep it locked. We're going to come back and talk to Aminata some more. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM.
I don't care what people say. They can call it anything they like. I got lots to give away. There's no point in living lonely, lonely, lonely. Well, my body's shouting out so loud, and it's calling out your name. Do you want it like I need it now? Come and save me from my pain. 'Cause we're young, wild and free, and we're hot, 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 bloody, bloody. There's a fire inside of me, and I'm hot, 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 bloody, bloody. Adding fuel to the flames. Wanna taste your body on my tongue. We're all animals, we can't be tamed. What's the point in living lonely, lonely? Well, my body's shouting out so loud, and it's calling out your name. Do you want it like I need it now? Come and save me from my pain. 'Cause we're young, wild and free, and we're hot, 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 bloody, bloody. There's a fire inside of me, and I'm hot, 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 bloody, bloody. Hot, 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 bloody. With my body shouting out so loud, and it's calling out in the rain. Do you want it like I need you now? Come and save me from my pain. 'Cause we're young, wild and free, and we're hot, hot, hot-blooded, there's a fire.
Vaccination against COVID-19 is ongoing throughout Quebec. The combined effect of two doses ensures better efficacy of the vaccine, reducing the risk of getting and transmitting the virus. You'll also stay protected for a longer period of time. Coming to your appointment for the second dose of the vaccine is a must, whatever else is on your schedule. The second dose of vaccine is essential. A message from the Gouvernement du Québec.
You've got a vibe and I like it.
We're back. You are listening to Soul Perspectives here on CKUT 90.3 FM. We are talking to Aminata Planchon, who is the founder, creator of Atelier APL, which is a store, an atelier that combines passion with creativity, and their drive comes from the vision of gathering people around one common interest, which is fashion. While we spoke to her over the past little while, we spoke about her celebration of womanhood and sisterhood. We spoke about cultural appropriation. And I actively follow your social media. And you recently came out with a video where you and a friend were doing what I would call a TikTok choreography to very specific music. But what I loved about it is that you incorporated questions that you were asked, things that you were being told, and something which like just makes me cringe so much, you know, hearing "you're pretty for an African girl," mm-hmm. or an African woman rather. And I would like you to just tell us a little bit about that, because I feel like I don't hear those type of things as someone who grew up in Caribbean, but I know intellectually in my brain that, okay, these are things that women, specifically, I would say women go through. But could you just tell us a little bit about that and like, how do you deal with that?
Kim, let me tell you, it is real. And I can see you're losing your words because it hits to the core, and it's the same thing for me, but sometimes it's just mind blowing. Yeah, I've been told so many times, "you're pretty for an African girl," or "can I touch your hair?" Because I have an afro, so people think it's okay to touch my hair and like pet me, right? Basically, like if, you know, I was some kind of animal. I don't know, but it's very, very weird. I think honestly, it's the lack of education. Mm-hmm. So I used to take it very, very personally.
Okay.
But I don't anymore. I think, yes, of course, people have to educate themselves. And I don't think it's something that's okay to do. Absolutely not. But now I see it more as like an opportunity to educate someone. So I'm like, you're doing something that is not okay, that is completely wrong. So let me tell you why and how you can improve and not do that anymore, you know, because mm-hmm. I think that's the way to move forward. But yeah, it's definitely real. Or, you know, sometimes I would just say, "oh, I'm from Senegal, but why are you so light?" Or, you know, like, it's just reflections and questions and stuff that, yeah, very weird. And when you think about it, you're like, how could someone say something like that? "You're pretty for an African girl." Like, what do you mean? Is this supposed to be a compliment? Because it's not.
It's what we call a backhanded compliment, where like you're slapping a person across the face mm-hmm. while saying, "oh, you look great," but
all your people don't.
it blows my mind, because I mean, if you just I remember there was a video almost 8 years ago, there was a video that I saw, and it showed different African women. And this video had hundreds, because there's 53 different African countries on the continent. Mm-hmm. And within one country, there can be a plethora of different, I would go so far as to say ethnicities mm-hmm. in terms of African ethnicities or that specific country. And so it's like, we're not this monolith of we all look one way.
Yeah.
We're diverse. We're as diverse as the rest of the entire planet.
Mm-hmm. No, for real. Like, I'm just, you know, while we're talking about that, I just have so many flashbacks of moments where I was just like, how can I handle this the best way possible? Because I was outraged. You know, one time I went out with a friend and she was like, "oh, come on, dance. Show us how African people dance." And I was like, "what? Why are you my friend? I can't be around you." Like, you know, stuff like that. Or I was at a pop-up shop and, you know, I have some African-shaped earring mm-hmm. in wood. And a girl came and she was like, "oh, that's pretty. What's that shape?" Now it's like, wow. This is
Africa. Oh, you mean like the, like the map?
Educate yourself.
Right, yes. The map. Right. Yeah,
like just the shape. Just the shape of Africa. And, you know, she was like, oh, what's that shape?
Okay, I'm gonna say, you know, some people don't like geography, so
come on now, like
I mean, some people don't like geography.
That's
I mean,
not an excuse.
I mean, I think that if somebody made like an airing out of the map of, let's say, England, I'd be like, oh, that looks like Trinidad. I'd be like, oh, that's a Trinidad, and then no, it's England. It is England. This is land of the Queen.
Yeah, sometimes it's no. I mean, it's sad to see. It's very sad to see.
What do you say to people who say these things to you? What is your response? What is your actual response?
Honestly, at the beginning, you know, like I said, I was so outraged that most of the time I wasn't able to say anything because I was just in shock. Mm-hmm. But now I just try to educate them, you know, like, you know, that maybe you're trying to do a compliment, but it's not. Mm-hmm. You can't say that, you know, because what you're implying by saying that is, you know, and then explaining to them what they're actually saying, sorry. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
because
how
what,
I do it now.
If they say something like you're pretty for an African woman, it's saying that all African women are not pretty.
Yeah.
And that you are like one of however mm-hmm. many, which is preposterous.
Yeah.
To me.
Not acceptable. To me. Yeah, to me as well.
One of the things that especially people online are... People who are activists and who do this day in, day out, and they speak out against, you know, injustice against Black folks and police brutality against Black folks mm-hmm. and Native folks and stuff like that. They get exhausted with, like, educating people. Because that's what it's yeah. like. Teach us. Educate us. Tell us what we're doing wrong. Have you ever experienced that kind of exhaustion? Like, you're just like, Google is free? <You know? laughs>
Of course, you know, because sometimes you feel like what they're saying or what they're asking is just so obvious, you know, but at the end of the day, you have to remind yourself that, you know, some people just grew up in one place and never had the chance to travel or have parents who are not very, like, maybe open-minded, or maybe they just live somewhere where they're not in contact with other cultures. So I know I had the chance to really travel a lot, you know, growing up, but... you know, when these things happen, even though you do have the exhaustion and you're like, you'll Google it. But, you know, I think it's so important to have the discussion and to educate people, even though it's not your responsibility, mm-hmm. it's their own responsibility. But I think I can do my part in it if it can help just move things a little bit.
A little bit further on down the line.
Exactly.
Yeah. sometimes I feel personally, because I mean, I don't get, in terms of me personally, when people talk to me, I don't get like things like you're pretty for a Black guy or whatever mm-hmm. or the case may be. But I have gotten, oh, you're Latino, and I'm just like, no, I'm not Latino. And yeah. What are you? And mm-hmm. I remember the first time I got that experience, and I was just like. I was working, I was a host for a wedding, and I was mm-hmm. in the middle of preparing everything, and you know, we sit down and I sit down with the other people, so the photographer, I have to coordinate with the photographer, and the photographer was a white woman, and the videographer was a white guy, and they're like, yeah, so you come from the Dominican Republic, right? I'm like, no, I don't come from the Dominican Republic. I'm like, what are you? And I'm just like, what kind of question is that? And
I'm human.
You just had to do like the mother and Everybody Hates Chris, where she just kind of and just sucks in all of the words before reacting. It's like yeah. how do you ask these questions?
It's just crazy, you know. It's some people and the I think the worst part in it is when they don't actually realize that it's, you know, it's wrong. Like, they have no idea that you can't do that, you know?
You can't say those things to people.
Exactly.
It's like you're looking at an animal and you're like, what is that? You can say that because that animal doesn't care. That animal is going to eat and sleep and have children and continue to live. They don't take into account the history, everything that we have to go through as Black folks, everything that are...
Yeah.
That even if you come from the continent of Africa, like, there was a lot of oppression there. The Europeans came and especially along the coastal lines, tried to mess some stuff up. And, you know, apartheid did not end a century ago. Apartheid ended in South Africa in the 90s. You know, so there's a lot of people like to say, oh, racism is over and it's been gone for a long time. It's like, no, some of the most heinous and racist stuff that happened, you know, like officially in terms of like these were laws ended in the 90s in South Africa. And there's still stuff going on. I mean, when I think about
it's definitely real. And, you know, we absolutely can't say that racism doesn't exist because, you know, just saying that means that you are not recognizing, you know, what's actually happening. And maybe you have some privileges that allow you not to recognize what's actually happening, you know. But yeah, even, you know, asking someone, oh, so you speak African. Like, what do you mean? Do you know how many languages, how many dialects are in Africa? Like, you don't speak African.
Yeah, just like as I come from Jamaica, I said, talk Jamaican for me. I'm like, there's no language called Jamaican.
Yeah.
We have Patois and we speak English. Mm-hmm. And oftentimes we speak better English than people that come from England. So stop your noise.
Yeah, no, for sure. And, you know, even when it comes to like the small things, so, for example, Aminata is a name that's very current in Africa, you know, and especially in Senegal, but not so much in Canada. So, you know, sometimes when even in the working place or stuff like that, when they see my name, they're like, oh, but is there something else that we could call you that's maybe easier? And, you know, lots of people call me Amy, but when I'm asked that question, I'm like, no, you're going to learn my name and you're going to say it properly because that's a sign of respect. You know, if your name is Antoinette, I'm not asking you to call you Ant or Antoine or like, I don't know, you know. You're learning the full name and that's a sign of respect. So many times I had my name like misspelled, even in an email. It's like, you see my name in my email, you just have to copy it. But even that, you don't take the time, you know, and that's, to me, it's very disrespectful.
Yeah. Oh, I can empathize with the name situation because my name is KYM and people write me emails and they write my name KIM often.
Yeah. It's like, why?
And they're like, oh, spell check. I'm like, no, you just didn't check.
Yeah, exactly.
You mentioned privilege, and I want to touch on that. What does this word mean? Because oftentimes, you know, we as Black folk, we talk about white privilege, and then there's male privilege and stuff like that. What does that mean when you say someone has a particular kind of privilege if they don't respect a certain culture or if they're asking very what we would call ignorant questions?
So to me, basically, a privilege is just that you're having an easier time navigating through different situations because of your background, your color, your ethnicity, traits that are visible to, you know,